Don't allow the joyfulness that you've entered the news year in to dissipate. Everybody was hyped up. I said to Heather the other day, everybody was hyped up from Christmas onwards. New Year's Eve, everybody's hyped up. New Year's Day, everybody's hyped up. But now we're back into the doldrums. I have noticed that us human beings are no different to the human beings in the Old Testament. I have also noticed that we are always searching, looking to get inspired. The Old Testament saints, the Old Testament Israelites, man, they operated by sight most of the time. I find that within modern Christianity. We run after guest speakers to get our fix. We all want a fix. And I often thought to myself, let's say there was no music. Let's say there was no guest speakers. Let's say there was no minister. And all we had was the Word of God. How consistent would we be in our joy and our following of God? No big fix quickly to pump me up. No guest speaker to pump me up. No music to pump me up. Just the Word of God. I wonder how consistent we would be. Because this natural human being needs the fix to build us up emotionally. But I want you to look at something with me this morning as I share it with you. It's time to move on. And I say that moving forward. I never want to move backward. I never want you to move backward. Don't go back. You've got to continue to move forward. Because we are moving towards the ultimate. We are moving towards that which God has prepared for those that love Him. What are we moving forward to? Firstly, to see Him. In seeing Him, something magnificent happens. A transformation of this mortal body. You see, we live in the now and we live for the now. But very rarely do we anticipate that which is coming. What we have seen now, the transformation in our lives as we become followers of Christ, is nothing in comparison to the day when we will see Him face to face. As a matter of fact, what God has in store for this world is mind-boggling. What God has in store for those that follow Him are mind-boggling. Don't let your walk with Christ become like a doldrum, just going through the motions. I want to try and instill within you the rest of my life on this earth at all times to be motivated in serving God, because He has got something spectacular for those that love Him. There is something great awaiting. But you say, why do I have to wait? Well, in reality, you are waiting, but are being transformed daily. That's what the Bible says, into His likeness and image. But we've got to move forward. And Happy New Year. 2018 is behind us. And some of you say, well, thank God it's behind us. We say that every year. We say that every year. I'm glad 2017 is behind me. I'm glad 2016. We're going to say it every single year. That's the human nature. I know we face 2019. But I want to reveal something to you that maybe you do know that, or maybe you don't want to hear it. 2019 is also going to have its mountaintops and its valleys. You can't get away from it. 2019, you're going to face those mountaintops. You're going to be on there shouting. But there's going to be some times you're going to be in the valley crying. In 2019, there's going to be hurt. In 2019, there's going to be disappointments. But I want you to look in between the mountaintop and the valleys. There's a natural life that needs to be lived. And that natural life that needs to be lived is we got to keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward as a child of God. In moving on, I want to submit to you this morning, we are not clueless. We are not the blind leading the blind. I want to assure you as a child of God, you don't have to have any fear for 2019. You're not clueless. You're not an orphan. You're not fatherless. Please understand this morning, as a child of God, I have the promise of the Almighty God, who is my Heavenly Father, that He has given me this promise. The Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me. And if the Holy Spirit leads me and guide me, 2019, welcome. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you, 2019. I wasn't afraid in 2018. I'm not afraid in 2019, because nothing can happen to me without my Father's knowledge and permission. Nothing. Nothing. You say, so He will allow some circumstances that aren't pleasing? Absolutely. He will. Why? I don't know. I'll ask Him one day. But in the meantime, I will remain faithful to Him in season, out of season. And when I don't hear anything in my spirit, I will still go forward, because the Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me. Now, moving forward, I want to draw your attention to the Israelites in the Old Testament. Oh my gosh, how I relate, and how the human nature can relate to them in the Old Testament. The challenges they had, their attitude, their fears, and then we're going to look at quickly some similarities between what happened then and what happens to us in 2019 and in our life in general. Now, according to the book of Exodus, there was a famine in the land of Canaan. Of course, later on, we can maybe wait for that. A famine in the land of Canaan, later known as Israel. Because of this famine, the Hebrew patriarch Jacob traveled with 70 of his people to Egypt to escape the famine, to get away from the famine. The extended family of 17 went to Egypt to both live in better conditions and be with their son, his son, Joseph. Now, you know, Joseph was sold. As a matter of fact, the brothers turned against him, and Joseph and his technicolor dream coat landed up in Egypt, in the prison. But it so worked out that Pharaoh at that time needed some interpretations. And this young boy, eventually Joseph, became the second in charge of the most powerful hierarchy, or the most powerful nation in the world at that time, Egypt. And here, Jacob was traveling with 70 of his extended family. They landed in Egypt, and Pharaoh, because of what Joseph has done, told Pharaoh to give his father the best of the lands. As a matter of fact, Goshen. For the next 440 years, some people say 200 years, some people say 275. There's a discrepancy as to, is it 430, 400, 275? Let's for the next several hundred years in Egypt, the Israelites prospered. They multiplied. But this became a problem to Pharaoh. The reason it became a problem is because of the growth of the Israelites. And he said with his counselors and the counselors with him, these people have multiplied too much, that maybe they can join with the enemy and overthrow us. So what Pharaoh decided to do is to kill all the males, the young boys. He also decided to make them work like never before, so they're too tired to even reproduce. So they became slaves, and they served under Pharaoh. They built cities, roads for him, and the Israelites were confined to the land called Goshen, from where we have the Exodus in the book of Exodus. The time had now come to set the captive free. The time had now come to deliver the Israel people from Egypt under the tyranny of Pharaoh. And God raises up a man, of course, Moses, a little infant that was raised within the halls of Pharaoh, his grandson. Look at the irony. The grandson of Pharaoh is going to actually deliver the Israelites. Pharaoh raises him up so he can set the people free. So God uses this man, Moses, an instrument in the hands of God, and he goes to Pharaoh by the command of God to tell Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Just to go and worship and adore God. Pharaoh, of course, who's your God? And that's what I find so often within the human race. The mortal always wants to challenge that which is immortal. The finite always wants to challenge that which is infinite. As if we've got a great say. As if we can challenge this great I am. And sometimes we do. People do it. If there's a God, I want him to strike me dead. And sometimes they were struck dead. Watch out what you ask for. Other times they were not struck dead. But they are going to be struck by the hand of God and placed into the lake of fire one day. And now we have Moses approaching Pharaoh. Let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh plays games. And of course, we have the 10 plagues. And the 10 plagues play out over a period of 4 to 5 months. 10 plagues. The last, of course, is the killing of the firstborn of the Egyptians. And that was the thing that made Pharaoh think twice. And he said, let the Israelites go. But I want you to notice the scripture that's on now, Exodus 13, 1 to 3. They have let the Israelites go. They're marching out of Goshen towards Canaan, the promised land. And God establishes something with these Israelites. The Lord spoke to Moses, set apart every firstborn male for me. Every firstborn male offspring among the Israelites is mine. In other words, I'm setting them apart. I've purchased them. They're mine. Whether human or animal, then Moses said to the people, what did he say to the people? You see the word, remember? You're going to see that word a lot. You're going to be instructed to remember a lot. Remember this day. The day when you left Egypt, the land of slavery. The Lord used his mighty hand to bring you out of there. Don't eat anything made with yeast. Remember this day, the day when you left Egypt, the land of slavery. Now, folks, that's an important statement. Referring to the physical slavery, I want to bring your attention this morning, not only to the physical slavery, but our spiritual slavery. How do I connect these two dots? How can I bring them together so that we can understand? The entire Old Testament Exodus was a physical thing. But in Christ, there is a spiritual thing. As there is an old Adam, the first Adam, which was natural, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, was physical but spiritual life. The old Adam, physical life. The new Adam, Jesus, spiritual life. Old Israel, physical. But here comes the thing. God also wants to remember our day of slavery. The Bible says every single one of us were born into sin, which is slavery. So you and I must remember the day. Remember the experience when he brought you out of slavery. But we also find that the firstborn was set aside by God. I want you to know in the spiritual realm, you part of the first fruits. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And you and I am part of those first fruits. And as the Old Testament, they were delivered, you and I have been delivered. And that's why we had communion this morning. And the Bible explicitly tells us, remember me, what I have done in your life. The Old Testament, they had to remember the day they were taken out of slavery. I remember who took me out of slavery. Now notice, in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, equating the Old Testament now with the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 6, 20 it says, for God has bought you with a great price. There was a price to pay in the Old Testament as well. But he bought you with a great price. So what must I do now? So use every part of your body to give glory back to God. Why? Well, in the Old Testament, he said, set these firstborns aside. They belong to me. Now, God is saying, use every part of your body to give glory back to God because he owns it. Who owns you this morning? Who owns me? Who owns us? Well, if we're born again, we became born again. You aren't born again by birth. You're born again by rebirth in Jesus Christ. So every part of my body, I must give glory back to God because he owns it. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:23. God bought you for a price. Now notice, folks, notice. And I think this is so important for us to grasp this morning. If he bought me with a price, he says, do not become slaves of people. Do not become slaves of society. Do not become slaves unto sin again. Because he has bought us. He's redeemed us. He's taken it out. Remember. And we remember those things through communion. What God has done. But let's go back to the Old Testament. God, what are you doing? God, what is going on in your mind? Taking your people out of bondage? They're not equipped to fight like Pharaoh's army. But I've also realized one man with God is a majority. I also realized if God is with you, who can be against you? What are you doing, God? Taking your people out of bondage? They have been slaves for many years. Their regular food also consisted of garlic and onions, and they loved the garlic and the onions. And now you're taking them out of this land? Yeah, but they were slaves. And God doesn't want people to be slaves because he was taking them from slavery to freedom. But in between the slavery and the freedom, they need to go through a desert. In between our slavery and freedom, there are some desert days. Are you afraid of the desert? Think about it. Are you afraid of the desert? What does the desert represent then? What does the desert mean to me? Hard times? The desert speaks to me of not much abundance. The desert speaks to me of heat. Difficulties? Are you afraid of those things? Are you afraid of the desert? Well, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the desert to be tempted. Don't be afraid of the desert because the Lord is your shepherd. You don't have to be afraid of the desert because if you're in the desert, God's with you in the desert. And if God's with you in the desert, you've got nothing to fear in the desert. Because he supplies your needs, no matter what. But in between slavery and freedom, they had to go through the desert. And this was very interesting. Going through the desert was important. Why? They had to learn something. They had to learn something? Yes, sir. They had to learn to resist. They've got to learn to fight. They've got to learn to trust. They've got to learn to obey. All part of the New Testament experience. We too got to learn to resist. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We too got to resist. We too got to learn to fight. Put on the full armor of God in Ephesians 6. We too got to learn to fight. But we too must learn to trust. We too must learn to obey. And we only have those things developed within us as we in the desert. Something they were stripped of when they were slaves. They couldn't resist. They couldn't fight. They couldn't trust. Yes, they had to obey, but they couldn't disobey. They had to obey for the wrong reasons. But the Israelites have to now move on. Look at Exodus 14, verse 4. Now, interesting thing about Pharaoh's heart being hardened by God. Did God really do it? And there's a good explanation for that. But once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. It was hard in the first place in any case. And he will chase after you. But notice what he says this, what he says. Now, there are some things I don't understand and I don't care much about it because I know I won't have the answer this side of life. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. I have planned this. Nothing catches God by surprise. When you and I go through difficult times, does it catch God by surprise? No, sir. No, sir. But God has also used you and me and is using you and me to go through trials to show his glory. Oh, when you and I conquer, when you and I overcome, we're showing the glory of God in our lives. And that's what we're seeing over here. Don't succumb to the temptations. Don't succumb to the difficulties. You are champions of God. Rise up, you champions of God, and let the glory of God be shining in you and be seen in you, order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there where? As they were told. Who told them? Moses. Who told Moses? I want you to see there's sometimes within the Christian walk, I too have a responsibility. My responsibility at times is to tell you some things you don't want to hear. My responsibility at times is to nudge you when you need to be nudged. I don't like what he's doing. Get used to it, honey. I've got a purpose and a reason here. And my purpose and reason is not to accommodate pleasing people. My reason here is to present the Word of God and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And now we find they camped where they camped because they were told to do so. Very interesting that they had to learn this obedience. But now look at Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. I'm just taking you quickly through the next two scriptures. And Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, looked up, as, let me stop, reread that. As Pharaoh approached, comma, pause, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. Oh my gosh. Why is it that us as human beings see the power of God, but when we see difficulties, we immediately panic? I want to ask you this morning, when you go through the desert, when you go through difficult times, do not panic. Your life is in His hands. If I've always said, if God has brought you this far, He's going to take you further. If you've come thus far by faith, why do you now want to continue with doubt? God is faithful. God is faithful. Look what happened to these Israelites. Can you imagine what it must have been like? They estimate when Israel left Egypt, there must have been about 3 million people. Can you imagine 3 million people with animals leaving Goshen because Moses says God wants to take you out of freedom? Can you imagine when they got out of Goshen, out of sight of the Egyptians, how they must have felt when they tasted that freedom? How would you and I do? Oh man, I would be leaping. I would be stirring. Come on, let's jump, let's dance, let's get excited. We're free, we're free, we're free. But you know what happens? That's most probably what they did until the first test. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, catching up, not going ahead, catching up. They cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, they cried out to the Lord through Moses. And they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Oh man, it's tough to be a pastor. Damned if you do and damned if you don't. Right? I get that weekly. Why did you bring us out? I'm just so glad that I know his voice. And I don't have to explain anything. And I don't have to compromise. And I can just say, you follow if you want to. And you don't follow if you don't want to. At the end of the day, it's your decision. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Now imagine this crowd of people raising their voices. And they say to Moses, were there not enough grace for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Honey, he didn't make any of you leave Egypt. He presented it to you and you obeyed. The Egyptians made you do things that you did not want to do. Moses did not make you do things that you did not want to do. He just said, God is delivering us. Let's go. But I find something very interesting in this. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. So you'd rather be enslaved with all the heartaches, with all the hurts, then be free from slavery. All you need to do is just go through a little trying time to the promised land. They chose to be slaves in their heart. Do you see how the old nature can control us sometimes? Thinking of the old ways. So they cried out to Moses, but oh my gosh. Now notice verse 14. Please, because we're going to skip to something else. Look at verse 13 and 14. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. They cried out, don't be afraid. Notice. Stand still. That's our weakness. If God doesn't speak to me now, I'm going to find another solution. We find it very difficult to stand still and watch. Watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just what? Honey, when you go through the desert, stay calm. Don't panic. When trials hit you, don't panic. Stay calm. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Honey, stay calm in the trials and the difficulties. When you don't have an answer, when you think at one time this is the right thing to do and that door shuts, stay calm, because the battle is the Lord's. And more than that, in this world you will have much tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And as he overcomes the world, I have overcome the world because I am in him. Stay calm. Stay calm. Don't panic. You're a child of the living God. But notice, it was these people that rallied against Moses. It was these people that cried out, why have you brought us out? What do you think the response of Moses was? This was his response. But really, when I go to the next verse, you will fully understand. Moses was a human being like me. And I'm a human being like him. And sometimes people may rally. And sometimes people may criticize. And sometimes people may ridicule. And sometimes people will try and run you down. But you stay calm because you know in whom you believe. And Moses knew the voice of God. But yet I see a human side of Moses found in verse 15 and 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Why? Do you pick this up? Nowhere in that chapter, nowhere previously, nowhere afterwards, do you find the verbiage that Moses cried out to the Lord. In between 14 and 15, something happened. What do you mean? Well, if you go in your mind back to 13, and what happened? But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. What do you think happened before that? In your mind, what did that people say? Honey, can you go back one to the previous one? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone, let us be slaves. The people were crying out to Moses, accusing Moses for taking them into the wilderness, accusing Moses from taking them out of slavery. They saw the Egyptian army coming, outnumbered with all their chariots, 600 plus chariots, just 600 of Pharaoh's royal people. They panicked. Moses said to them, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Let's go back. Or let's go forward again to Exodus 14, verse 15 and 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Let me explain to you what happened over here. This whole process started with Moses saying, God, I'm not a good spokesperson. I can't go speak to Pharaoh because I'm not good with communication. I stutter. God, stop your excuses. I'll send your brother with you, Aaron. He'll be the spokesman. So stop your excuses, man. And it happened that way. But here's what happened. God used Moses and Aaron. Moses spoke, challenged Pharaoh, led the Israelites out. After he used his staff and all the plagues were counteracted by the Egyptians' magicians until the firstborn died. They couldn't do anything about that because the death angel came. Now Israel is out. They're busy moving from Goshen to the promised land. And all of a sudden, the Egyptian army. Whoa. And the people panic, and they blame the leader. That's just natural. They always want to blame the leader. That's natural. If Humpty Dumpty's up there, they want to take Humpty Dumpty down. And the people whine. But because Moses was human, I can sense it. I can feel it. After he had told the people to stand still, he found a moment where he was alone. Away from the people. God, I can't take these rascals any longer. All they do is whine, whine, whine. God, you've got to do something. You've put me here as the leader, but you've got to do something. I've tried to calm these people down, but they don't want to listen. I'm the one you chose. But I tell you, I've had it up to here with these stiff-necked people. Oh, no, you're putting words. No. God has referred to them as stiff-necked people. So he was crying out to the Lord, not written in your Bible. But notice what it says. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. 3 million people with animals, they've encamped. How quickly do you think it is to set up the camp now, put it all together, and start moving? 3 million people. How quick can this happen? The Egyptians are coming with their people. They're attacking. And Moses now has to tell the people, get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so that the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. I want to submit to you this morning, there is a time to pray and there's a time to act and to move forward. God has taken us from slavery to freedom. Have we got one more slide there? Notice what it says. Then the Lord said to Moses, the same scripture in the Message, the Living Bible. The Lord said to Moses, quit praying. Folks, there's times that you've got to stop, quit praying. Oh no, the Bible says pray always. Yes, sometimes we're praying as a mere excuse to avoid what God has already told us to do. Quit praying and get the people moving forward, march. Lessons to be learned from the Exodus. I mentioned that at New Year's, and this is our first Sunday. Three things the Lord just shared with me to share on New Year's and today's service and next week's service as well. Three things you and I must take with us. Remember, trust, obey. You and I, remember what the Lord has done. Trust God because He never fails. Obey Him to receive the blessings. So you and I got to keep on moving forward. Why? Because our God does not disappoint. Our God reigns. Our God rules. As God led the Israelites out of Egypt, God has taken you and I out of slavery. As God has provided for the Israelites, God says, and those that love me shall lack no good thing. They that call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. God will give us the desires of our hearts. But I want to reassure you this morning and prep you that you will have some desert times. You will have some difficult times. There's going to be times that people read you the wrong way. There's going to be times that people hurt you. There's going to be times that people disappoint you. I don't want you to look at people. I want you to look at God, the author and finisher of your faith. And when you feel I can't go on, you start going on. I don't feel like going on. Honey, nobody asked you about your feelings. You do what is right in the sight of God. You move forward. Forward march. We're marching to Zion, the great city of the Lord. Marching to Zion. On our march as born-again people, we will encounter difficulties. On our march, on in marching, we're going to encounter people that resist us. My response to that is, who cares? Who cares? All I know, I'm moving forward in the name of Jesus. I'm moving forward to the time when I will see Him face to face. I know this morning that if I remember, if I trust, if I obey, because I'm in covenant with Him, He's made the promise, two things, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will never withhold any good thing from those that love me. So I don't know about you folks. The way I see it, we're blessed. I don't have to ask God to bless me. Oh, bless me, Lord. I hear it in prayers so often. And bless us, Lord. How? Why are you praying that way? I am blessed. I don't need to be blessed. I am blessed because I'm in covenant with the eternal God. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. You and I have been redeemed. We're in covenant with Him. We are seated in heavenly places. I don't have to ask to be blessed. How are you doing? I'm blessed. How are you doing? I'm good. Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I'm good.
I often hear people say, when you ask them, hey, I'm okay. What? A child of God, you okay? You more than okay. I'm good. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't you have trials? I have. But he's given me the ability to go through it. I'm not going through this challenge alone. God is with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? Let's change our mindset. Let's change our vocabulary. Let's look at it from God's viewpoint and not man's viewpoint, and not react according to our emotion, but according to our spirit and the knowledge that has been given to our spirit that we are blessed people. And I'll close with this because the time is up long ago already. God's people are happy people. And happy people? Yeah. Come on, lemons. Become bananas. Let the joy of the Lord permeate you. Let the joy of the Lord come out of us. Because if we are the salt and if we are the light, we have a purpose. But when the salt loses its saltiness, it has no purpose. You and I have a purpose. What is that purpose? To serve him and proclaim the gospel to all the people. Let's influence people this year. Let's touch people with the joy of the Lord. Let's touch people with the gospel. But most of all, let people see the consistency in us. So next time you hit a challenge, don't panic. Pray. Next time you hit a challenge, don't stand still. Walk in the Lord. And by stand still, I mean, don't say, oh God, you got to do something now. Continue walking and God will do something. Because God directs a moving vessel. You move. I don't have the strength. Stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. I don't have the strength. Well, you just counteracted the scripture that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me the strength. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, stop that nonsense. You know what to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We've got the answers. I've got to quit, man. I'm enjoying myself so much this morning. Our God never disappoints. Amen. All right, you can go home. Go, let's. Kerry, come and sing that first song for us. You are God. Please. What does 2019 hold for us? What does 2019 hold for us? I don't know. But the old saying is, I know who holds 2019. Whatever comes my way in 2019, I will handle it the same way as in 2018, with a little bit more wisdom at times. But one thing I've realized, as I walk with him and talk with him, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide me. Is it a possibility that I will make a mistake in 2019? Yeah.